clock's moving again.
Bigger well.
The clock is moving again. You've been there.
Hold up. You can put it in the air.
I'm
going
to go like this to see what.
I get it for you.
No, it's not sure.
I'm here to serve.
The time I care is at the beginning because I try to make sure it's
right. Started. You can put wherever you want. I just, when I'm playing, that's the best one.
No, it's okay.
All right. I'll be back.
It's so. Always like the hidden clock.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We should really have a spot over the marina store. I'll be back in 6 minutes. Thank you.
Good morning and Advent greetings as we gather together in the house of the Lord today. It's nice to see you. It's good to see our guests and visitors who are here today as well. At the end of the end time season and the beginning of Advent, we have some pretty heavy and hard-hitting topics. Jesus is coming back to judge. God calls us to repent. Today we get to focus on the end result of those teachings. Jesus is coming back to judge us and take us to heaven. That puts joy in our hearts. God calls us to repentance, and he shares love and forgiveness. That puts joy in our hearts. So may God bless us as we focus on that joy that only the coming Savior, Jesus, can bring. May God bless us and put joy in our hearts as we worship. The order of service that we will follow begins on page 4 after the opening hymn. Our opening hymn this morning is hymn 14. Let us worship the Lord. I'm getting a signal from the balcony that we open with our gathering rite, which I agree is a very good plan. Our service begins on page 4 in the service booklet with the Advent gathering rite.
Oh.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Hear our prayers, Lord Jesus Christ, and come with the good news of your mighty deliverance. Drive the darkness from our hearts and fill us with your light. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson is recorded in Isaiah chapter 35. Here the Lord's prophet Isaiah shares with us a series of word pictures to describe for us the joy that God's people then and the joy that we, God's people today, have because our Savior Jesus has secured it for us. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon, they will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling spring. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it, it will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day is on page 8, Psalm 146. We'll sing the psalm responsively by the half verse. The second lesson is recorded in James chapter 5. The joy that God's people only have in Jesus always has and always will sustain his people. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we considered blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance, and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. This is the word of the Lord. We light 3 Advent candles, remembering Jesus, the light of the world. He came to cast out the prince of darkness.
We hear his call to see the light.
We light three Advent candles as a sign of our trust and confidence.
Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest.
Through your word and spirit, may our souls be blessed.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 11. The joy of Jesus coming in fulfillment of Isaiah's many prophecies brought joy to John and his disciples, even in the midst of doubt. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not yet risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day.
Last week, he stood boldly in front of crowds of people. He was blunt, direct, and he didn't pull his punches. He was fully convinced of his message, and he made no bones about it. This week, he's down and out, unsure of himself, questioning his convictions, and, oh yeah, behind bars. The John the Baptist that you and I heard about in worship last Sunday, and the John the Baptist that you and I are hearing about in worship this Sunday, are the same man. But when we compare the gospel for the last two Sundays, they kind of sound like we're almost dealing with a different person. Admittedly, the time difference between Matthew chapter 3 last Sunday and Matthew chapter 11 today is a lot more than 1 week. Much more time has elapsed. But the man who preached so boldly to the crowds to make them ready for the coming Savior's ministry now seems a little unsure if he was pointing everybody to the right guy. Can you relate to John the Baptist? I think most of us can, in some way. Baptism incorporates us into the family of God. It washes away our sin, but it doesn't change the fact that we are human beings. Human beings who have doubts, a sinful nature that gives us uncertainties, questions that arise in our minds. You think that disqualifies you from a place with your Lord forever in heaven? Think again. Because in the gospel for the third Sunday of Advent, Jesus offers real joy for genuine doubters. He wants you to know that he will be there to pick you up and support you when doubts assail your soul. And as we study God's word today, we will realize that yes, human doubts are natural, but our Christian joy, even in the face of those doubts, our Christian joy from the Lord is supernatural. So what happened? How did John the Baptist go from being the bold and bombastic desert preacher to a soul filled with doubts and worries in such a relatively short period of time? Matthew mentions at the start of today's gospel that John finds himself in prison, and the reason for his imprisonment was less than just. Matthew, a few chapters later in his gospel, actually goes back in time and fills in the details as to why John finds himself behind bars. Matthew chapter 14 says, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid because of the people, because they considered him a prophet. Last week we heard just how bold John the Baptist had been. He had a bold message, and he didn't apologize for it when the religious leaders of the Jews came out to check him out. And when later circumstances caused him to address King Herod's adultery, he didn't back down from that either. The religious leaders may not have liked John's message, but there wasn't a whole lot that they could do about it. Herod, on the other hand, was a different story. If Herod didn't like what someone had to say, he could toss him in jail. And that's exactly what Herod did with John the Baptist. John knew what his role was. He was the forerunner of the Savior. It was his job to get everybody ready for and pointed to the direction of Jesus and his public ministry. In fact, John probably knew that the Old Testament even predicted his own ministry. And Jesus verified that for John's listeners and followers when he said in our reading, "What did you go out to the desert to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you." So here is this great prophet. This prophet predicted by the Old Testament, and where is he? Behind bars. Not preaching, not proclaiming, not pointing people to Jesus and his ministry. Behind bars. But John thinks to himself, it's not supposed to be this way. Why is this happening? Well, John may certainly have been a great prophet, but that doesn't change the fact that he was a human being. John's ministry was certainly predicted in the Old Testament, and it was certainly unique, but that doesn't change the fact that John had genuine doubts. Prophet or not, the circumstances that he finds himself in were not ones that he would have imagined for himself. And that leads him to wonder a little bit if, in fact, Jesus was that long-promised Savior. And that led him to send some of his disciples to ask Jesus if he really was that Messiah that had been promised for centuries. He's a little unsure. One day, he is a bold and blunt preacher, standing up to the Pharisees and Sadducees and even the king. The next day, he's in jail for his boldness, wondering and worrying if maybe Jesus had forgotten about him. And you and I can find ourselves in good company alongside John the Baptist. One day he makes his confirmation vows as a middle school student who could answer any catechism question that the pastor gave him faster than you could say Lutheran. 6 years later, he's off to college in an environment that does not support his faith, but calls into question everything he's ever been taught by his parents and pastor. And he starts to wonder if all that stuff that he had been taught was just kind of an old, outdated way of looking at things. One day, she completes the Bible information class as an adult and is absolutely excited to witness her faith and to share her newfound faith with her friends and family and her coworkers. But 6 months later, life at home isn't any less tense. She was passed up on a promotion at work, and no one seems to care about all these burdens she's carried in life to the point that someone would come up to her and say, "So how you doing?" And then we start to wonder, does God care? Does he notice? Sound familiar? Some version of this can happen to any one of us. It does happen to us. In fact, we are human beings who naturally have doubts. But it happens especially because Satan is hard at work, trying to convince you with yet another half-truth. Well, because these things are happening, maybe God doesn't care about me. Maybe I'm not all that important to Jesus. Maybe God's law doesn't apply today the same way that it did years ago. Maybe Christianity isn't the only way to access God. Human doubts are natural. But watch out that those doubts don't turn into reason for despair. Your sinful nature, passed on to you by your first parents, Adam and Eve, fights against the Christian nature inside of you. Your sinful nature would love to turn those natural doubts into an eternal disaster and snuff out the light of faith from your heart and soul. So where do you turn? Where can we find answers for our questions and doubts? Well, where did John the Baptist turn? Couldn't have done much better. He turned to Jesus. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" So rather than letting his doubts get the best of him, he turned to the eternal doubt dispeller for an answer. The way Jesus answered John's question was kind of interesting. You know, he could have sent John's disciples back with a very straightforward answer. "Yeah, John, I appreciate the question. Thanks for asking. Yes, I am the promised Savior. We're still this plan that we've been lined up for centuries. Yeah, cousin, it's still on. Don't worry. I know this kind of stinks right now, but everything's going to work out." He could have done that, but instead Jesus gives John an answer that allows John to come to the conclusion on his own. Educators today call this inductive learning. Deductive teaching is when the teacher just gives the class the information that they're supposed to learn. Inductive learning or teaching is when the teacher supplies information that allows the class to use their head and to think and come to the proper conclusion on their own. Jesus was a master inductive teacher. His parables are a great example of that. And that's also what he does here. Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, Those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Miracles like that don't exactly happen every day of the week. Even when the Lord allowed his Old Testament prophets to perform miracles like this, they did not happen to the extent that they happened by Jesus during his ministry. Doubts or no doubts, the fact remains that the news associated with Jesus' ministry confirmed that, yes, he was the one. He was the promised Savior. He was the Son of God. You still have doubts. There's no reason to fear, because Jesus offers real joy for genuine doubters. Our doubts are only natural, a product of the sinful nature that competes against our Christian nature. But Jesus does not dispel our doubts with fire and brimstone. He addresses our doubts lovingly and patiently, the same way he dealt with his own cousin, John. And not only that, he takes those doubts and replaces them with a real Christian joy that is supernatural. Not sure if God's grace is great enough to cover up your past sins and failures? Well, then Jesus sends you this message through the Apostle John. If anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Not sure if your faith is strong enough to qualify you for entrance into heaven? Well, then Jesus sends you this message through the prophet Isaiah. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Not sure you've done enough to earn a spot forever with your Lord in heaven? Then Jesus sends you this doubt-dispelling message through the Apostle Paul. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not sure you can make it through the challenges and trials that you're scheduled to face in the next week or month or the year ahead? Jesus sends you this doubt-dispelling message again through St. Paul. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Not sure what lies in life after this life? Jesus once again dispels your doubts with this certainty from St. Paul. Since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man, that is Jesus. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Whatever doubts or questions you have, Jesus not only has the answer, Jesus is the answer. His supernatural victory by his death on the cross, which conquered your sin. His supernatural victory over your grave by his resurrection has put real joy back into life, joy that withstands the blowing winds of our personal trials and tumult and trouble. Jesus has real joy for genuine doubters. So when doubts assail your soul, and they will, don't run from the church in fear and despair. But turn to your Savior for real hope and lasting joy. There is no doubt that Jesus will be there to help. Amen. We respond to God's word and confess our faith using the words of the ancient Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God. God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
In our prayer of the church this morning, we remember David Matthews and his family. David's sister recently passed away. We ask God's peace and comfort to be with David and his family. We've also been asked to remember Dolores Johnson, who is struggling with heart disease and will likely have a surgery very soon to treat that if she is strong enough to have that surgery. So we remember Dolores and her family. And we also keep Ray Brown in our prayers as he continues to struggle with the fallout that he suffered during his stroke, and he continues to get weaker. So we remember our brother Ray and his family. We follow the format for the prayer of the church indicated on page 12 in the service booklet. Please stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For a proper faith that trusts in Jesus for forgiveness and believes that he is the promised Christ, let us pray to the Lord. For proper preparation for the Lord's return, that we remain steadfast until that day, let us pray to the Lord. For St. Mark's congregation, that we continue to be a place where the gospel is rightly proclaimed and the sacraments correctly administered for the life and salvation of God's people, let us pray to the Lord. For our spiritual fathers, especially Pastor Mark Schrader, our Synod President, Pastor John Buchholz, our District President, Pastor Guy Markwart, our Circuit Pastor, for the pastors of St. Mark's congregation, and for all the pastors in our Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, that they continually encourage and equip to declare the goodness of God to us, let us pray to the Lord. For our civil servants, especially Congress, our justices and judges, President Barack Obama, Governor Jerry Brown, Mayor Mel Turner, and all in positions of secular authority, that they faithfully execute justice, protect the innocent, and punish wrongdoers. Let us pray to the Lord. For any who are sick and suffering, especially David Matthews, Dolores Johnson, Ray Brown, and their families, that they find hope in the Lord who gave sight to the blind, made the lame walk, cleansed the lepers, and raised the dead. Let us pray to the Lord. For those in economic distress, the hungry, the homeless, the unemployed or underemployed, and any less fortunate, that God would give them relief in their distress and courage in the midst of their anxiety. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Supper this day, that they eat and drink with confidence in the Lord's power to save, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
These things, and whatever else you know that we need, kind Father, grant us for the sake of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We are about to begin the Holy Communion portion of our service. Scripture teaches that when we receive Holy Communion, we receive Jesus' true body and true blood, and that communing together is a public statement that we are completely united in everything that we believe and teach. For those reasons, we invite to Holy Communion this morning those who have had the opportunity to make such a public confession of faith and unity with St. Mark's through membership at St. Mark's or through membership in one of our sister congregations of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. If you have not yet had the opportunity to review what we believe and teach at St. Mark's, and would like to commune at St. Mark's in the future, please speak with one of the pastors after the service or at a time that works well for you. We would be happy to further explain our communion practice and begin working toward a common confession of faith. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared when he called people to repentance and pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Thank you.
blessed are you, O God Almighty, who through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, created all things and made mankind in your own image. Blessed are you, O merciful Father, for when Adam sinned and lost your image, you did not forsake the people you had created. You sent your only begotten Son to take on human flesh through the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. As our substitute, he fulfilled all your laws in our place and died the death we deserve because of our sin. Blessed are you, O God, our Savior, for you have gathered us here to remember Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. In this meal, you give us his true body and blood, which paid our debt to you and assures us of your forgiveness. For all of your undeserved love toward us, we give thanks and praise to your living and life-giving name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
your Savior's true body and true blood will strengthen you and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Go at peace with God. Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
Our worship continues on page 17 with the Song of Simeon. Please stand. O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness, you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Good morning again, and may the joy of Jesus relieve your doubts and give you the confidence to live for your Savior in this week and forever with him in heaven. I just have a few announcements to share with you. Northwestern Publishing House has sent our congregation a Christmas flyer advertising Christian books and resources that they produce for our Wells congregations. Copy of this are in the track in the lobby. Please help yourself in the track rack in the lobby. Please help yourself to a copy today. If you are ordering anything from them tomorrow, it should arrive in time for Christmas. So take a look at this and see if one of these would make a good Christmas gift for someone on your list. The final midweek Advent service and supper is this Wednesday evening. I've been on the road the first two
Advent services, and I look forward to worshiping with you. So let's see how many we can bring into God's house this Wednesday. Please adjust your schedules. I promise you, you will not be disappointed with the soup or meal either. So midweek Advent worship, 5:30 is the supper, 7 o'clock. We could use several volunteers to help decorate the church for Christmas this week. We need people to stay after the Wednesday night service and bring the trees and other large boxes of materials into the church. We'll gather again on Friday night at 7 p.m., and that time isn't listed in the bulletin, so if you want to come on Friday at 7 p.m., to put up everything in the church in time for next Sunday's children's Christmas service. And finally, there is some encouragement, something for you to chew on the very last page, page 24 of the service booklet, including a line that says, "Prospects are not looking for a friendly church." I thought they were. So take a look at this and see what that is all about, the role that you can play in welcoming our worship guests. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out.